Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Desert lasagna, 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 desert lasagna. Yes, I don't think we've ever been more on the same wavelength.
Oh, yes. Were you saying something about... Anyway, it doesn't matter. Hello to In the Think Tank.
The show where we come up with five sketch ideas. Yes, I'm Andy.
And I'm Alistair. George William Trombley Birchall. Good day to you.
Good day. And as we say...
Good day. If ever you hear Andy talking, when Andy's on the phone to me while we work, and there's a workman there who shows up at his house to either dig something or put in a grave or something like that, or
whatever
cut a tree
it is.
Or
they're here to charge me $500 to $8,000 for something.
Yeah. Yeah. And Andy is always like, g'day.
Yeah.
Yeah, mate. Yep. Just around here. Just need you to have a look at the tractor. Yeah. Oh, she's bogged or something.
You hear that, do you? I let you hear that stuff, do I?
You do. You let me in a little bit. I hear a lot of your voices, a lot of your code switches or whatever they are.
My identities. Yes, my code switching between podcast comedy and rural land management.
And then there's also your voice for your children and then your voice for your partner.
Yep. That's true. I'm a chameleon.
And then your firm but appreciative voice for your parents.
And you know, exasperated voice for all other scenarios.
Your exasperated inner monologue.
Exasperate. That sounds like a word that you would use to describe letting the air out of an air mattress. I've just got to exasperate the air mattress.
You think laying on it would be the trick?
To exasperation.
You pull the plug out.
Yeah, yeah, that'd do it. I'm not saying it's difficult, but I'm just saying it would be adequately described by the word exasperate.
Okay.
Right. Alistair, you know how there's dessert pizza? Why isn't there a dessert spaghetti? I think we should invent a dessert bolognese.
A bolognese?
I think bolognese. I think we should...
Bolognese. I think it's bolognese. You know what? Because I think in Italy, and it could just be in some parts of Italy, because there's a place near our place called I Pugliesi, right? And it's spelled I-P-U-G-L-I-S-I.
Mm-hmm.
I Pugliesi.
Yeah.
Now, you hear that G?
No.
It's real quiet.
Yeah. It's not silent,
It's not silent. It's whispering at most.
Yeah. It feels like
it's
it feels like it's nudging the other letters. If it's not making a sound itself, it's treading on the foot of the L so that the L makes a bit of a weird noise.
Yeah, I Pugliesi, because you go, I expected more there.
Yeah.
Lee, so that you're doing a hard L. Lee, I Pugliesi.
Yeah.
And so I reckon there's a chance that the G in Bolognese is that as well.
Yeah, no, of course you're right.
But I want you to, but at the same time, Andy, you couldn't sound like you're pronouncing it more correctly.
That's
you know, because you're giving everything equal. It's equality in there.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm having some fun in the middle. You know,
but
what do you feel about you know, basically the dessert versions of maybe every main course? Why not a dessert steak? you know,
dessert hamburger.
Dessert hamburger.
Actually, that's mashed potato.
A fucking dessert hamburger is a really good idea. This is the question. What would you make the patty out of?
Chocolate. There you go. That's the solution to almost everything.
Nutella. It's just a layer of Nutella.
No, but it's got to have some structure.
I think
to be spongy.
I wonder
like
if
chocolate
you could,
tofu.
You could fry. Can you fry mascarpone? Probably just melts, right? You want to have like some layers of something that you can.
Can you fry and mascarpone?
Mascarpone. Is that what you're?
Can you
you're
fry,
suggesting?
Comma, mask a pony?
All right, I feel like my attempt to force you to write down the words dessert spaghetti is just
dessert
not going
to
happen by keeping on coming back to it over and over again.
Andy, we're going to get there. I just want there to be an idea in there that's a bit sketchy, you know?
Yeah, I get it.
We got dessert spaghetti.
Mm.
That's what we got so far. You know what I mean? Like, this is the guy in the ad. Hey, come down to dessert everything. We got dessert spaghetti. We got dessert hamburgers.
I feel like this is, you know, you come down, you say, dessert me. And, you know, you order your food and then you say, can I get that deserted or desertified, right? And desertification, normally a process in which the land becomes arid. And you know, sand blows across the place. But now here at Desertify, you can it's on their menu. It's only mains, right? It's only mains.
You know what I'm picturing? I'm picturing
And then
There's
a big button in the middle of the table, and you can slam that button and to desertify your mains, and they'll turn it into a dessert version. And there's everything in there. There's minestrone.
Yeah, even minestrone?
You haven't lived until you've eaten a dessert minestrone.
That's right. Well, and the thing is that because I thought the button, right? And then I thought there's the quicker option as well where you could have a big rope above you, right?
Oh.
And you pull on it and just a big bucket full of caramel just pours over you and your plate.
Yeah, it's been deserted.
But then I do like, have you ever seen how people like make those candied like orange peels? You basically just boil it in sugar water. Very, right. And then it becomes candied.
Yeah.
Right? The idea that you could take like a meat and two veg kind of meal, right? And the kids aren't eating it. And then you just plunge it in the sugar water like that. And then you just boil it for 10 minutes. And then it comes back out, and the kid is like, yay!
Yeah, candied meat and two veg. It's the deep frying of the sugar world. We have boiling sugar. Fuck, that'd be intense. But, you know, I think that would work. I wonder if you could cook things in boiling sugar. Surely you can.
Of course.
What would it be like to plunge a sausage into boiling sugar?
Oh, good.
We'll find out.
It would be satisfying.
Satisfying. Yes,
yeah, but every I think you'd have to replace the sugar water every time. It's not like oil.
I don't know.
You don't think so?
I think it could be a lot like oil.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess there's a lot of long carbon chains.
Maybe. But are you suggesting that because the water component would be soluble in the sugar? Boiling sugar that maybe, you know, because it wouldn't just evaporate out of the solution, then you'd end up all manky. I don't know
what it is with the you know, if you're cooking chips and stuff like that, if they have water in them, that water evaporates, right? And so, and then that doesn't end up, I guess there's not as much chip flavor left in the oil. But maybe if it's water, everything just gets in there, and your water starts to go brown real quick.
We'll work on the system. But I think imagine if you could have one steak
sugar water. You could have a vegetable sugar water. You could have a minestrone sugar water.
You got to keep your sugar waters separate. Like it's like having separate cutting boards in your kitchen for fish and meat and vegetables. Here we have different vats of boiling sugar water. Yeah. I think what's going to be exciting is that once civilizational decay really sets in, it's going to be no holds barred on the cooking methods. People will stop thinking about their health and their long-term
Once
civilizational decay really sets in, once where everything starts to collapse around us, yeah, it'll be a golden era of just eating really badly. And I think we, in that small window, yes, Alistair.
I'm there, baby. I'm already there.
In that small window of opportunity, we're going to do really well marketing our extremely unhealthy cooking methods. And I think the sugar fryer will become the new air fryer.
But I think it'll be the
must-have gadget for the mid-apocalyptic kitchen.
Yeah, but I reckon it needs a new word. Instead of a deep fry, it's got to be a deep, you know, like a deep sweet. It's got to be like a deep
sweet,
a deep sugaring, a deep
candying.
Candying.
We'll call it the candy man.
The candy van.
No, the candy man, because if you use it three times, it kills you.
I think that's good. I like that.
Terrific. Just talking about that, I wonder if people use the word peri-apocalyptic. Do you know peri? Meaning sort of
Matthew?
I mean around, you know, because there's the pre-apocalyptic, there's the apocalyptic and the post-apocalyptic. But I think, you know, a more useful term might be the peri-apocalyptic or peri-apocalyptic. Sure. Where,
peri-apocalyptic.
You know, it's very hard to tell sometimes where you are on the apocalyptic scale. We might already be post-apocalyptic in some ways, but...
You think?
Just referring to this peri-apocalyptic
era. Why do you think we might be post-apocalyptic? As in because we've already hit tipping points or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. You know, things are...
I thought the apocalyptic bit was the bit where you could no longer live.
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly one way to interpret it. Yeah, sure.
You know, where most things die. A lot of desertification, but not the good kind.
Not the good kind. But I think... you often hear people say things about, you know, I can't think of any examples right now, but I remember I've certainly listened to podcasts and read articles where people say things that suggest that we might already be in this period that you didn't realize, you know. Yeah, and right. I wondered if one of the periods that we might be in that we didn't realize was post-apocalyptic. Anyway, don't worry about it, Alistair. No.
I'm Andy. It's all I can worry about now.
Well, that's good too.
But sorry, where were you heading with that thing about us being in the peri-apocalyptic period?
I just wanted to use the word. I wasn't heading anywhere. We're already.
What about peri-thrust apocalyptic?
Now, what does that mean?
Well. Oh no! What is that? Parry thrust?
Parry thrust. You talking about fencing?
Yeah.
What about this? Peri apocalyptic, right? And that is apocalyptic but spicy.
Peri apocalyptic.
What about this? Matthew peri. Is Matthew Perry? All these celebrities are doing their restaurant change. You've got Wahlburgers. We need Matthew Perry.
Matthew Perry or Matthew Perry Perry Perry.
Matthew Perry Perry Perry. It's his sauce. He could be the Paul Newman of spice.
Or Perry Perry Matthew Perry. I suppose that's a spicy Matthew Perry, but. That's what I'm hearing from his book, that he is a bit of a spicy gentleman.
He certainly, yes, there's some spice in there. Yeah. I feel he's one of those guys who you feel very emotionally connected to their their well-being, or at least I do.
Sure.
You really, really want him to be doing okay.
Yeah, were you there for during his sort of more difficult struggles with substance abuse?
In what sense?
I guess if you're worried now, are you less worried than that period, or are you more worried than that period?
I think I am more worried because I think, you know, I haven't read the book, but I also worry about people writing their stories of their troubled times. Yeah. I always think, I bet they're not really out of it. You know, I bet that this is just another part of the cycle.
Well, I hear that you're always an addict.
Yeah.
And so that, you know, you just got to take it one day at a time from what I hear.
Yeah. I wonder if the money from how much of the money from the book will be spent on.
I reckon, Andy, that he is fine for money with regards to that whole thing that America does with money and TV shows like that have gone on to have endless success.
So you don't reckon it's going to be possible for him to take enough drugs to spend all that money? That's what I need to hear. I need to know that. I think maybe some graphs and some. More than a book about his recovery, I need some cold hard statistics that show me that don't worry, it's going to be impossible for him to
run out of money.
He's going to
run out of money, that maybe all of his investments from that time will not be enough to support him.
Yeah.
Plus any money that's coming in. I think that he's probably fine. I think he probably owns his house outright.
Oh, that'd be so good. Yeah. I need to see those papers though. That'd be good as well. Yeah,
so that you could relax.
Yeah.
What could be the sketch around this?
Yeah. Well, I you know,
it's because what are those relationships called with somebody who's a celebrity?
Parasocial. Yeah, I think a parasociologist, someone who you can go to, who can help you to feel better about the celebrities that you're anxious about. You know, they talk you through it and they use cold hard facts to make you feel like they're going to be okay.
Yeah.
You know, like it's not a life coach, but it's a sort of a life
could be
coach
a parapsychologist.
Parapsychologist. Yeah, that's really good. That's really good, actually, because you go there and you unload not your anxieties about yourself and your own life, but your anxieties about somebody else's life, and they help you through that. I think that's great. They solve all your problems with someone else's mental health. And you never have to address your own personal deeper issues, which explain why this is so important to you.
Sure. But I think that's probably a more societal issue about loneliness and, you know, the loss of third spaces. You know, that
third spaces,
that other place where you can go and hang out.
Yeah. Community.
Know, like, you know, there's home. There's shops and stuff like that, but what about third spaces where everybody can go and hang and just meet up with no agenda?
We should invent a new third space.
Okay. Well, that's what I was hoping with... Because remember when we were writing the little show Teleport?
Yes.
It was also partially... Part of it was because I'd also started writing a little book, Teleport.
Mm.
And so some ideas from that book I tried to cram into... the show. Also, I think one of the ideas from that book was in Magma, which was the idea of the double-ended torch.
Oh, man, that was so good.
The idea was that if you teleport, I guess we did kind of include it with the teleporting into your own rectum.
Yes.
What if you were to accidentally teleport
into
your own rectum?
You're suggesting that could be the third space?
Well, the idea that you teleport into you actually create some new space, right? you're like so not actually into your own rectum, but into a space that is not a space, and then it becomes just this kind of space that's nowhere.
I worry that the problem for us with the loss of third spaces is not that there's not enough space to have a third space, but that there's not a reason to go there. I don't think it's a lack of space. Yes.
No, but you know what it was? It was a buffer that was created using information so that if the teleportation device cuts out mid-transfer, all the information was still stored. So you kind of walked through this temporary room in case there was a power cutout or something like that, so that all your data was stored, but then you kind of existed as this data version of yourself as you went through, and then you went through the other door. And then that space, that little buffer space as a safety, ended up becoming a new type of space for people to live in, and people could just live in this kind of non-space that didn't exist in the world.
I really like that.
You see, and so then maybe we could have that, but you probably need to have electricity running all the time. People would be like, let's switch them all off like that, and somebody could probably turn it all off or whatever like that.
But I think there's a real, like, you know, I think that would be exciting, being in that space that doesn't really exist. You know, people say that what happens, you know, in Vegas stays in Vegas. But imagine if you were in a space that didn't really exist, you know, that then you'd truly be, you know, free of your social
responsibilities
and your not preconceptions. I don't know the word, but like, yeah, all of that stuff would fall away.
Would you go there, take someone there to murder?
Maybe.
Either to murder with them or to murder them?
I wonder, could you murder them in this space? Does murder still apply if you're just data? I suppose you could.
It depends. I guess if you've got that information, then there's a chance you could have another backup of it. And then you could bring the person back even if they do die.
I think this is a great science fiction concept, Alistair, where there's this, everybody's using teleportation, right? And from the point of view of people coming in and out of the teleporter, nobody knows that this space exists, because it is just this sort of buffer where you're stored, and maybe you can't, because you're just data, you can't form new memories that exist either side of this limbo space. But there are some people who discover that you can, in, you know, almost like lucid dreaming, hack the way these things operate so that you can be conscious and functional in the limbo space, allowing you to do all sorts of messed up shit. I think the discovery that that's what's going on, like, has got a really cool sort of combination of true crime investigation. Like, you know, if somebody was killing people in the limbo space, so people are just coming out of teleporters dead, right? There's such a big thing of like, holy shit, okay, the teleportation industry is going to try and hush that up. The government isn't going to want people to panic about that sort of thing, so they'll probably be complicit in like media blackouts and that kind of thing, but then people will be investigating that, and they don't even know that this space exists, so they've got to get into, like, they've got to talk to engineers and the people who invented this technology to even find that such a... And then there's, you know, these murders are taking place in a world that we didn't even know was there. And then once you, maybe these, you know, the investigators can go in and find themselves in this space and discover that an entire new world has been built in there that, like, could be really complex and rich because of people finding a way to inhabit that space. I think that's fucking cool. I think that's one of the coolest things I've ever heard, and I just said most of it. Even though I was using all your ideas.
Andy, no, you really expanded on it, and if you want to turn it into, if you want to actually go, and we could go and finish this book. Really what the book in my mind was is somebody creates a technology, and then they realize that actually it's bad. And then they go, actually, no, I'm I'm taking it off the shelves and blah, blah, blah. But people have already started, you know, copying it. They've already started hacking it. They've already started changing it, and they can't stop the spread of the technology. Mm. And then it kind of just becomes like an open source thing that, and the world won't stop using it because it actually, it's created so much convenience, so much money saving. But basically everybody dies every time they go through it, and it's just an exact copy of them that's created. And that's what the main person's problem is. They're like, well, there's no point doing this if you die when you go in it. And I didn't think that people were going to use it for, it was for goods.
Did you realize that this has got like big climate change parallels?
Yeah, like, it's got climate change. It's also got the technology stuff, which is like, which is the nonstop thing of like, oh, well, now we've got the smartphones and now it's like, I feel like it's mostly ruining my life, but it is very convenient.
Yeah.
And you can't stop the spread of it. You're not going to stop it. It's like the amount of force that it takes to actually try to take it out. And so basically the movie, the book in my mind was also going to just be this person who started it trying to, you know, essentially stop their own monster that they started.
Frankenstein's monster.
Yeah.
What do you think about this? Frankenstein's mobster. Has anybody done that as a movie film?
Or Frankenstein's lobster.
Ah! Never mind. Right.
That's just about his pet. There's nothing. He didn't do anything weird to it. He loves it very much. Okay, Frankenstein's mobster is a great idea. Because it's like The Sopranos.
Yes.
But it's set in... Was he this guy in Transylvania? I just got to say, the look of where Dr. Frankenstein's stuff often is, it looks very similar to the kind of region where Dracula hangs out.
I wonder if that's a coincidence. A
lot of big cliffs, a lot of sort of castle-y places.
Yeah. Castle Frankenstein, is that a thing? No, I'm thinking of Castle Wolfenstein. That's, but, you know, again, similar. What's that about? But, Do you think what
they
about
were neighbors?
This, right? There's
something in the water. There's got to be something in the bloody water here. My
people
God,
are
drinking people's blood.
Ending up all weird. They're either a monster made out of body parts or they're a vampire that drinks people's blood. I know they don't seem similar, but they are both weird. Alistair, would Frankenstein's mobster arise because, you know, there is one of those big gangland shootouts, right? And at the end, there's only everyone gets so shot up that there's only enough bits to make one mobster out of all the bits of all the other mobsters. Like the this is it. You know, maybe whoever's putting them all back together, they have to use some bits of like all the rival mobster gangs, right? So they're
to go after the new kingpin of the city.
Yeah,
who's like
exciting.
Taken over and killed all the other families.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know how the all the other families tend to have like, you know, like meetings and they kind of like they work shit out like that.
So they're all there. Right?
But
then
one guy decided
person.
He was taken over and he betrayed everybody and killed all the families.
Yeah. Yeah.
Except for one nerdy guy who went and picked up all the things and then decided to
sew them all
piece
together.
Them all back together. And tell them what happened.
Oh, and you know what's great about that? Don't they use the word the term "you got made" in the army in the mafia? They talk about getting made,
like you've just become like an official member kind of.
Yeah,
thing,
you're
like,
a made
right?
man. Well, there's never been a more made man than this.
Yeah.
he thinks he's got the city all sewn up. Until, yeah, this is great. I don't know what else happens. I guess he falls in love.
Do you think so? Yeah, and he takes her to the top of a big tower, and he and then some planes try and shoot him off the tower.
that's right.
is he much bigger than other mobsters though? Wouldn't he be?
He is. He's enormous.
Yeah. Do you think he travels with the scientist, or do you think he just goes and does all the stuff by himself?
I wonder, should he kill the scientist?
Do you think it's Frankensteiny?
Frankensteiny. Frank is a good name.
Yeah,
for a
that's true, Frank. Yeah. Frank and Stevie's monster. No. No, I was making it Frankensteiny because it's like it sounds a little bit more Italian. Frankensteiny.
Yeah. Yeah. It does a bit. It does a bit.
Frankensteiny. Maybe you didn't hear it.
I think you're gonna, but like I think if you call the movie Frankensteiny's Mobster, then yeah, I think it's starting to like all fall apart.
Yeah, you think so?
Yeah.
All right. Well, then it's a German gang.
Yeah. Great.
It could be a German mobster.
But the thing is, Frankenstein is the doctor, right? So he doesn't have to be Italian. It's just that the mobster is a mafia, you know, amalgam. Mobster is Italian, made from bits of Italians.
You know, Frankenstein in this is she's the wife of one of the mobsters who was killed.
Yeah, that's really nice.
You know, and then she's like, we're going to get these fucking guys. They're
what about
from
she,
Boston or something like
she
that.
Has a plastic surgeon. She's been getting plastic surgery from this doctor, this unlicensed doctor. And she takes all the bits of all the mobsters. She's grabbed all the bits. She thinks she's got all the bits of her husband. She takes them to hit them.
Yeah, yeah.
To the plastic surgeon.
She doesn't know the full story. She just knows that he died. So she goes to, at this place. She goes to the scene.
Mm.
You know, she hears from you know, Jimmy the Rat or whatever that you know, he walked in after the thing. He's just a street punk. He's not a made guy. You know, he's just a guy. He just does little things. He shows up at where the meeting is at, right? Maybe delivering pizzas or something like that. And then he sees the bloodbath.
Dessert pizzas. Dessert spaghetti.
Yeah, all the dessert spaghetti and sort of entree pizzas.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
And soup spaghetti. No, soup pizza.
Soup pizza. There you go. We got there.
Anyway, and then he goes there, and then he goes and tells her. And then she's like, what? So she goes to the thing saying that the guy's thinking that she picks up all the bits, not realizing she's picking up the bits of all the dons of all the families.
Yeah.
Brings it to her plastic surgeon. Make him. Fix him. Fix him. Put him back together.
Yeah. It's really good.
He's the best guy in town.
Yeah. I'm really excited about this idea.
Does this Frankenstein also have like real puffy lips?
Yeah, real super puffy.
Full lips. Yeah.
Real weird face. But I think, I mean, it also might be interesting to like, if it was different, you know, what's the word? Like ethnicity, you know, like there's the Russian mafia, there's the Irish mafia or whatever, there's the Italian.
This is what I've heard. It'd be great. Yeah,
if they all get put together into one, and then you know you can have great sort of weird, you know, funny scenes, hilarious scenes where like you know he's ordering food, but he's ordering like all sorts of weird things together, you know.
Yeah. I'll have a potato and a bowl of pasta.
Yeah,
and dim sum, please.
Yeah,
And I mean, he could just go to a buffet. They have all of these things.
He'd love a buffet.
He eats exclusively at buffets. But this is what I was about to bring up. I mean, you hear about the Russian mafia. You hear about the Italian mafia, right? You hear about the Yazookas, the Japanese mafia. Does every country have its own mafia?
Yeah, interesting.
Like, are there German mafia? Like, and are they operating in all countries? You know what I mean? I guess mafia is what we just give it. This is probably just the name of the town. It's just organized crime, right? But
yeah,
like
I think
here
so.
In Australia, it seems to be bikies, right?
Yeah, I guess. I guess they're our mafia. Like they're we might have a separate mafia that's more mafia-y. You know,
well,
sometimes
I think we also have like Italian mafia, but then they're like, you know, there's a problem where they're identifying as Italian mafia when actually they're Italian Australian.
Is that a problem? Is it?
I think it's a problem to me.
Yeah. Do you think you're not actually allowed to call it the Italian mafia unless it comes from the Italian region of Italy?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's for me anyway. I think that if you're born here, it would help. I get where the point of, you know, where your connections and stuff are. But it would be nice if you gave Australia some credit in the raising and making you a criminal.
Yeah. What? Yeah, I agree. You know, when you come to Australia, you become an Australian, okay?
Yeah.
Integrate into the Australian mafia.
You're an Australian Italian mafioso.
Mafioso.
How we would say mafioso.
Mafio. Oh.
Mafio. What's that?
Yeah.
Mafioso. No. Oh, yeah, I see, because you shortened it.
Yeah, maybe. Mafioso. Oh. Nah, it's nothing.
What about the, you know, like the Australian mafia operating in somewhere else? You know, is there a show in that? The Australian mafia operating in New York City? Mafia.
You know that movie Mickey Blue Eyes, where Hugh Grant sort of gets involved in the mafia, right? New York, I believe. I haven't seen the film. I remember seeing the trailer and thinking, Andy, God, that looks great. God, that looks good. It was exactly that time of my life when every movie I thought looked great. but we could do that with an Australian. Imagine that. We could call it? Mick Blue Eyes.
Oh, yes. Mick Green Eyes.
Ah, good.
No, yours is better. Because I did have that idea ages ago where it was just, I was like, what can I write that sounds like it's from my point of view? And I was like, it's a TV show where it's a Canadian family that's moved to Australia. And they're talking to somebody and they're like, and it's the members of the Calabrian mafia, right? And they say, but there's loud music. And they say, where are you from? He said, I'm Canadian. And they go, you're Calabrian. Like that, and then somehow they're involved in organized crime based off of that.
I mean, that's kind of funny. Yeah.
Yeah.
that they don't pick up the accent at all. They only mishear the word Canadian as Calabrian.
And then you're in. They get you to do a job. Can you take this to this place for me?
Yeah. And, of course, they're Canadian, so they want to be helpful.
They really want to help, yeah. You know, and then they're in deep. They're in too deep. They delivered a package.
It's great. I mean, why does this need to take place in Australia if you've got Canadians and you've got Calabrians?
You think that if it happened in Canada, it would make... Where are you from? I'm Canadian. Calabrian. Whoa. Jeez. All right. Can you take a package somewhere for me?
This guy who mishears the word Canadian as Calabrian is making this mistake all the time.
Yeah, well, he works in a nightclub, so it's just he.
In Canada.
Yeah.
No, you're right. It should be in Australia. How many things have we written down, Alistair? Have we had any ideas yet?
One, two, three, four. I mean, one of them is not, you know, is like just you expanding on my book idea.
Yeah, but have you got Frankenstein's mobster written down?
Yeah, Frankenstein mobster's there. I think that there's something funny in an Australian mafia operating out of like Wellington, New Zealand. And they've got like a black market thing there to get Australian things into New Zealand, to smuggle Australian things into New Zealand, which is getting harder because New Zealand basically has everything that Australia has.
Yeah. We're running out of export opportunities.
Yeah. And it's them trying to, you know, it's them at this turning point. It's a turning point for this Australian. You know, they've got, and their dad's been doing it for years, you know, like, or the grandpa or whatever. He was, you know, he was the Don.
Mm.
His name is Donald.
Oh, good.
Yeah, Don. And he, maybe he's got to smuggle in a little bit more value to their New Zealand dollar.
Has there ever been a movie where the mafia, like, they can't decide who's going to be the new head, and so they go through, because normally they promote from within, right? But for some reason they go through an external hiring process. That, yeah. You know, I guess the organization is big enough now that really what they need is somebody with good administrative skills, and it's become less about, you know, the power and the threats and the standovering stuff, and more now just about, like, you just need to be able to manage this big organization. So I guess you end up with somebody who's from the business world. They've come across, they've been hired from, I don't know, they used to run what's a
daycare center,
a chain of daycare centers or something like that, and they end up with the role, and they're just trying to do as good a job as they can.
I mean, I think that's really lovely. I think to add comedy to it would be like,
yes,
maybe nobody. Because this is just an idea I had ages ago, but where it's nobody wants to be the boss because the bosses keep getting assassinated.
Yeah, that's really good.
Right?
I think a daycare person as well is so good because you could see them using their skills that they use to, like, manage conflict between little kids to manage this
relationship with whatever this other family or this other group that is... that is causing problems. I mean,
incredibly violent.
It could be like a 45-year-old woman who's sick of people's shit.
Yeah,
but
that's
also very,
right.
But very lovely. But she's just like, sometimes you just got to be a bit firm with people.
yeah, I love it.
Daycare runner, new head.
It's got a bit of the analyze this. Is to it. Analyze This, by the way, great film. Watched it recently. Had a great time.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And so that, does the psychologist somehow get involved in the crime?
He does, yeah. Yeah. Although, he manages to do it in such a way that he actually avoids doing bad things. You know, he uses his smarts and his understanding of psychology to achieve a positive outcome.
Does he use left brain, right brain? Well, I'm going to shift now to my right brain, and then I'm going to shift to my left brain and be more creative.
Yeah, definitely.
Does he do that?
I don't remember. But
does he use
that kind
Edward
of thing.
De Bono's
thinking hats?
Thinking hats.
He uses Edward de Bono's Architecture of Happiness.
Does Edward de Bono have an Architecture of Happiness?
I think that was one of his books, yeah.
It's crazy.
Mm. How many mafia-related ideas do we have?
Daycare. It looks like I've said daycare rummin, but it's runner.
Mm.
You know? We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 ideas all up, Andrew. Would you like to go to 3 words from a listener?
You know what, I would.
Well, today's words come from a game of Fortnite that I played with a listener. You may know them as Stu.
Hey, Stu.
The Macaroni Prince themselves. Mm. Stu, as well as other... I mean, how can I? I got to plug. I guess I got to. I think I feel like I got to plug Stu's. Stu's. Okay, yeah. It's actually the Macaroni Prince is the there's the Twitch handle.
Yeah, great.
And on there, I played with Stu, Yak, and James. All people. Oh, because it's Stu gets known as Mac. So it's Mac, Yak, and James, which is all names that have A's in them. And they submitted three words from a listener, but they, Yak and James technically aren't listeners, I don't think. So you could ignore two of the words if you want. But here's you want to try and guess what the words are?
Yeah. Okay, the first word is underscore.
Oh, that's a terrible guess. No, the first word is helium.
Ah, okay. Okay.
So you can see where
the
this
next
is going.
One. Yes, helium, sex doll.
No.
Those are the three sex, words.
Helium, sex doll? No.
Yeah.
No. Helium bubble.
Uh-huh.
And what's your third word?
Boy. Helium bubble boy.
No. Eater.
Helium bubble eater. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I feel like I, you know, with my suggestions, there were already so many great comic potential things.
With a helium sex doll.
Yeah.
Helium sex doll boy? Is that what it was?
Helium. And then, then there was the helium bubble boy. So you got a boy who lives in a bubble. And then they accidentally fill up his bubble with helium. There's a mix-up with the canisters. And he starts floating off into the atmosphere. And they got to try and get him down, obviously. It'd be great. It'd be like Balloon Boy, but he's a bubble boy.
Well, I think there is a movie called Bubble Boy where they have to kind of track him down, maybe.
Yeah, all right. That's the Jake Gyllenhaal film, right? Is that what happens in that?
Yeah. I mean, I haven't seen it, but yeah, it does seem to be Jake Gyllenhaal.
Mm.
Danny Trejo's in there.
Ah.
And John Carroll Lynch, if you're wondering.
I don't know who that is, but you know, I guess I'm wondering now. And helium sex toy, I guess. What is it? You know, sex doll. You're filling up a sex doll with helium. What does that?
Yeah.
What does that achieve? They're bouncing around on the ceiling. You're trying to have an erotic experience with it. You know, or have they done this at Sexpo? You know, giving away instead of giving away balloons. To kids giving away, you know, like a bunch of balloons to kids giving away a bunch of inflatable sex dolls on strings bouncing around, you know, the ceiling. Yeah. And you see them walking around the expo, excitedly clutching their hand.
It'd be nice if you could make one out of just the regular balloon material.
Balloons. That'd be great. An erotic balloon animal man.
You a vagina out of balloon,
see?
Like, you know, like those, or like a, you know, or a bum or a dick or whatever like that.
Exactly. Yes.
What's your favorite genital, little kid?
I think this would be good for bachelorette parties this probably already exists, but hiring a balloon person. And
but if it was also, if it, instead of balloon animals, if it was balloon animal genitals,
great.
Because then imagine somebody who has such an encyclopedic knowledge of what all animal genitals look like, and can recreate them using the pretty unspecific art form of party balloons, sort of clown balloons.
What about this? You know, in the TV show Bones, they use this extremely advanced, almost some would say impossible, hologram style computer to visualize crime scenes. It was on a plinth in the middle of their office. What if instead of that, it was a clown standing on a little podium? With a whole lot of balloons and everything that they wanted to model, he did it with balloons. So
I guess there's also the option of a courtroom.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
What are they
really
called?
Good.
Courtroom.
Sketch artist.
Yes. Courtroom sketch balloon artist.
<That's>
and you can
really
just
good.
Hear his squeaking.
Or even just you know, the police sketch artist where they're trying to describe the criminal to the person, but it's a balloon artist doing it. Yeah, that's really funny.
No, it's a slightly bigger mustache.
Yeah, that's him. It's really good. It's
take
really
a photo
funny.
Of this. Mm. Take a photo of this before it pops. You know what? Should we wrap this up?
I think we should wrap
go
this up.
Sketch ideas. All right, we got Dessert Me Restaurant, which is also a perfect place to dump somebody.
Yes.
Press a button, and then whatever your meal you've got, they will turn it into a dessert. That's why they serve such extra large portions, right? Because you're getting entree, you're getting main meal, and you're getting dessert all on the same plate.
Yeah, that's right.
And it's all the same meal. Just different things have been done to it.
Mm.
It's been boiled in the candy man, which is our sugar deep fryer. Then we have the parapsychologist to help you feel better about your parasocial relationships. Then we've got the teleport murder space mystery that we discussed. Then we got Frankenstein's mobster. You've been made. We've got there's a new kingpin who kills all the other families.
Exactly.
And all those families are pieced together into one mega mobster.
Mega mobster.
We got daycare runner, new lead, a new head of organized crime organization. Then we got helium bubble boy who floats away. Then we got erotic balloon animal genitals guy. And then we got courtroom sketch balloon artist or police balloon sketch artist.
Yes, Alistair.
We did it.
We did it.
Yeah. Living the vida loca.
Lasagna.
Living the vida loca.
Lasagna.
Living the vida loca.
Lasagna. Living la vida. Lasagna.
We did it, Andy.
Thank you so much, everybody, for listening to In the Think Tank. God, you put up with a lot. And
thank you.
We appreciate it.
We appreciate everything. Anybody who hasn't seen on our Patreon, you can now get My Client is Innocent. So go and get My Client is Innocent by just joining the Patreon, and it's on there for free.
On any level that you join it at. I was recently on the podcast Shut Up a Second with Cass and Hayden from the Sandspants Network. That's really fun. Those guys are great. And Alistair, you've been on it, and your episodes are really funny as well. In fact, I'd probably even recommend you go and listen to Alistair's instead of mine. But mine are okay as well.
Andy's always funny. Always.
Always. That's it. That's it.
Thank you so much for everything. Take care. I hope you live a good life.
And we love you.
This you. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.